The forced conversion to Islam of young women and girls in Pakistan is causing tensions in one of the country's poorest provinces. Distraught families say girls are being kidnapped and forced to convert. Clerics say they're converting of their own free will. And South Asia correspondent Siobhan Hinu found it is hard to ask the women themselves.
This video of two Pakistani sisters reciting Islamic verses went viral in Pakistan. Reena and Ravina are sisters from a small village in Sindh province, which is one of the poorest parts of Pakistan. It's also home to many of the country's largest religious minority, Hindus. Soon after these sisters converted from Hinduism to Islam, they were married to local Muslim men. The entire process was filmed and a variety of phone video clips emerged. In one, the two sisters and two men sit squeezed together on a sofa as a cleric reads from a religious text. All the videos were shared far and wide on social media as people debated, did these girls convert of their own free will or were they forced? There's no way of knowing the full story behind their conversions and marriages, or whether they wanted it all to be filmed and publicised. But activists say it's an example of something Pakistan's own Human Rights Commission says is a national problem. In its annual report, the commission said that more than 1,000 underage girls were forcibly converted last year in Sindh province alone. There's been a consistent stream of conversions of lower caste minor Hindu girls over the past several years, the commission wrote in its annual report in April. Around 1,000 Christian and Hindu minority women were converted to Islam and then forcibly married off to their abductors or rapists, the commission reported. Earlier this month, Sindh's provincial assembly passed a resolution demanding an end to the practice. It was supported unanimously, including by local members of Prime Minister Imran Khan's Tehreek-e-Insaf, or PTI party, as well as the hardline Jamaat-e-Islami group. But it's not the first time lawmakers have tried and failed to press for change before influence from religious groups is brought to bear and the passage of laws banning the practice is thwarted. Cases like Reena and Ravina's grab headlines in India and Pakistan. The case of these sisters even led to politicians from both countries trading barbs over religious freedom on Twitter. The Human Rights Commission says forced conversion flourishes because the local authorities look the other way, and because religious organisations, including madrasas, facilitate, indeed orchestrate, the targeting of vulnerable girls from the poorest families and the lowest castes. Some people say the girls go willingly because converting and marrying a slightly wealthier Muslim man gives them economic opportunity. At the other end of the spectrum are accusations that the girls are raped by men they are then forced to marry after being kidnapped, sometimes at gunpoint. Reena and Ravina's father, Hari Lal, says that's what happened to his daughters. They were armed when they came to my house, he says. They took my daughters forcibly. My wife was there when it happened. Mr. Lal says his daughters are just 13 and 15 years old. Their new husbands and the religious leaders who wed them say they're 18 and 19. Despite being married in Sindh, where the legal age for marriage is 18, they were quickly moved to a different province by these men, to Punjab, where the legal marriage age is only 16. Mr. Lal protested outside local police stations. The case eventually made its way to court with the involvement of some local lawmakers and advocates for the Hindu community. But at issue wasn't whether the girls consented to be married or converted willingly or if they were abducted. The only issue being ruled on was whether they were 18 and therefore old enough to marry. The court was essentially deciding whether the girls would go back to their parents' house or be told to remain with their new husbands. The sisters appeared at court once with their faces fully covered in black niqab before they were ordered to stay at a safe house for the duration of court proceedings. They didn't say a word outside the court and they never returned to sit in that courtroom that was deciding their futures. As is common in many of Pakistan's poor rural areas, these girls were never given birth certificates. It would not have been a priority for their family. So the court ruled that forensic testing at an institute in Islamabad would be conducted to determine if they were 18 when they were married. The girls were not in court to hear most of their case, and their mother was equally silent. She did go to the court, sitting with her husband as lawyers and activists swirled around her. She wore the same outfit every day, a plain yellow sari that she draped low over her face, covering her eyes, although her tears were visible as she sat and wept quietly in the hours before the final hearing. She wore bright red bangles up her arms, as is custom for married women from her community. As people walked past her in the court precinct, some stared and laughed at her style of dress, which denoted her status as a lower caste person from a poor rural area. She never spoke to any of the people involved in the case or to the many reporters at court to follow the story. People poured from the courtroom after the judge handed down his verdict. The sisters were 18 or older, he ruled. They would stay with their new husbands. Men from the religious centre where the girls were converted and married celebrated outside. Their leader, cleric and former politician Pierre Abdul Haq, said force was never used to convert the sisters. We welcome the judgment. Today's judgment delivered justice, he said. This is all done to defame Pakistan. There are some Indian spy agencies who are doing this. He said, give me an example of forced conversion in the last 200 years. Give me a name. I will donate my property to her. Hands linked or fists raised in the air, the men walked from the court precinct triumphant. They were by far the loudest voices in the room.
South Asia correspondent Siobhan Hinyu with that tale from Pakistan.